Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Sang a song here that I want us to sing. Very powerful song. It just ministered to my spirit. What's the song again? You know the song? It's his song. God bless you. Powerful song. What's the song again? Just raise it and then you'll follow.
We give you, God, the highest praise. From the rising of the sun to the setting.
Very simple song. Let's join you.
We give say the highest praise.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the
are saying
the highest praise from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same.
Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we are grateful. We truly give you the highest praise.
The highest praise from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same.
Hallelujah. Come here, Key Strings, bring your guitar. You're going to play that song. That's your Hausa song. Did you know that all through that song, listen, we are not musicians. This is not a band. You have to learn to be very spiritual. Most believers don't have ears that hear. They don't know what the Spirit is saying. We guess things, we do things religiously. That's the reason why there is no power and there is no life. One mark of a spiritual man is the ability to move at the frequency of the Spirit, not the frequency of tradition. If the Holy Spirit moved 5 steps yesterday, it doesn't mean he will move 5 steps tomorrow. He can move 5 steps yesterday and not move for the next 1 year. The stamina to stay until you follow the cloud is where that power is. You know that a church and a ministry is spiritual because in every season, there must be a song that captures what the Spirit is saying. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Doesn't mean you don't have other songs. A new song does not necessarily mean a song just composed. Are we together now? So this song tonight is not about dancing. It's about meditation and let your spirit. It's a very powerful song. Let me tell you, I'm very, very proud of you. You received this song from the Spirit. By the grace of God, the Lord will lift you and you will go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Let's not make this thing look like we are playing games here. If you receive from heaven, we will know by what it does in the earth. If your song came from heaven, it's impossible to not have an impact. If your preaching came from heaven, it is impossible to not have an impact. This carnal thing people do all around you, sit down, borrow someone's song, borrow another one, conjure something, and just because you want to make money. This thing is a connection with the throne. So you're going to sing this song for us, and I don't know how to sing it. I'm just waiting for that part that my spirit connects. And that's another thing about psalms, hymns, and not special numbers. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. God may just need a sentence from that song, and that's what he needs to speak to you. The song can have stanza one to forever, but God just says, my dealing with you just requires, sometimes it can be a line. In fact, sometimes it can be a word. Thank you. It's not like you've not said thank you before, but because of what he's doing, thank you will mean something to you. So I want you to listen to this song, because the part of it that blesses me may not be the part that blesses you. Our dealings are different. So let your ears, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, this ear is the Spirit of God that gives men. I will be so. Okay, strings, go ahead.
Am not worthy of your love. You shout me blessings from above. To the crime. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But you love me anyway. Oh, my lover, you love me anyway. It makes me wonder, what did I do to deserve your love? What did I do to deserve your love? 'Cause nothing I will ever do will make me worse.
heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Thank you because we know what it means to be chosen of God. We are your beloved, and we thank you. Bless us tonight, O God. Lift us. Let our stay in your presence be worth the while. Change our lives. Let there be miracles. Let there be signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. Please sit down. We're going to pray. God bless you. Good evening, everybody. Good to be back home. While you're seated, we're going to pray one scripture. Just hold the hands of someone. Isaiah 45:8. Can we have that, media? Otherwise, you turn to your Bible. Just help those under the anointing. Isaiah 45 and verse 8. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalapoko Suprahaskadabalakatia. Isaiah 45 and verse 8. Brothers and sisters, I want you to trust. Please don't distract those inside, outside. I want you to trust what God is doing in and through your life. You may not understand what He's doing, but I want you to trust Him. It pays to trust Him. Remember that the mission is follow me. God does not owe you an explanation to every process. He only owes you a revelation of Himself to understand where He's taking you to. We live in a very scientific world that requires that we understand everything per second, per time. When it has to do with working with God, you have to trust Him and know that, God, you are taking me to the place of destiny, and I believe you. I hope that you can read it. Let's read together. 1, 2, read. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, I'd like you to decree and declare over your earth and over your heavens. Command them to open. The Bible says there are treasures that are hidden thereof. Lift your voice and pray. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1, the mystery of open heavens. Ezekiel 1 verse 1. Please pay attention to tonight's teaching. We're going to pray. I want to share with you something very powerful. The mystery of open heavens. One of the greatest prayer requests that you will have to offer before God in this season is, oh God, give me the gift of an eye that can see. It's a powerful prayer. Are we together? Yes. In the physical, when people are blind, you see the limitations that come with their lives. The gift of an open eye, that God can grant you access to see beyond the realms of the physical, to see dimensions that are not given for mortals to see. It's a superior advantage that will establish your dominion on this earth. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river of Sheba, that the heavens were opened and I saw the visions of God. That the heavens were opened and I saw the visions of God. Let me start tonight by saying, God is building us in the similitude of a spiritual house. The Bible says, and ye all as living stones. It says we are being built into a spiritual house. Don't let the devil distract you. Please listen. When you see the way a house is built, there are times in that building where the carpenter is not needed. There are times in that building where there's no need to cast anything. There are times when the entire masonry is over and you need to be involved in the interior. The Bible says we are built in that similitude. That means that there are seasons where the Spirit of the living God will turn and begin to emphasize certain things. A season will come, God's emphasis will be character and moral excellence. A season will come, it will be your prosperity, your prayer life. You know you are being built into a house when the various dimensions are at least touched within a given period. I command that spirit to leave that lady now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Are we together now? God, no matter, I hope you know that the way God deals with you for your spiritual growth and the way God deals with you to step into the office of your ministry are not the same. Now listen very carefully. When God is dealing with you with respect to his call and assignment to your life, he's not obliged to teach you everything. The curriculum of his dealing will only cover the areas that represent your assignment, and is intentional. I've taught you on the mystery of the body of Christ. That bias and that lapse in knowledge is supposed to force you to need the corporate body, because it is only in partnership with them that those gaps are completed. Are we together now? So if God is calling me into the healing ministry, for instance, he will seldom teach me anything about excellence and administration, because there is another person in the body mandated to represent that dimension. So if at all I want to see God's hand in that dimension, it will have to be based on my alignment to that person whose office is carved out in that dimension. Are we together now? But my personal dealing, that is for my spiritual growth, God makes it a point of duty that I am built so that I am balanced, because this one is for my own benefit. So you find out that in a season God will deal with the issue of character. Then later on you will see him switch and talk about your finances. Even if you are fasting, the visions you will see will be with respect to what he is doing. And sometimes you can feel guilty and say, God, what is this? I need more fire. And yet all you see is God teaching you financial principles. And then a day will come, he will never talk about money with you again. Even if you've not paid your rent, you can go and pray about 5 issues. You'll be surprised that is the issue that is consistent with his intention for the season that looks like it's the first to be answered. You pray about rent, you pray about food, you pray about your ministration. Only your ministration receives an answer. As if God did not see that the landlord harassed you. Are we together now? Listen very carefully. I'm teaching you something very powerful. When you understand this about God, then you can use his ability to touch the various areas to confirm whether you are still in sync with his dealing. As far as your personal growth is concerned, God will never stay in a single curriculum forever. It's impossible. No. So if all you think is happening is God is just building my life and he's not building my finances, he's not building character, he's not building the anointing, it may be that you have started skipping a lot of classes. Because the lecturer in the spirit will always be there, whether you attend the lecture or not. You will come and find him speaking, and it will be registered that according to this season in your life, you should have learned this truth. But by disalignment or pride or carelessness, you exempted yourself from that dimension. And as you begin to grow, the lopsidedness that came from your imbalance will become very glaring. And sometimes it can be so glaring, it will affect the bigger assignment that has been given to you. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. So a true apostolic and prophetic ministry must be able to capture the dimensions of God that create stability. God is not a wicked God. The Bible tells us how Jesus grew in wisdom. If the Bible just said Jesus grew, it will leave us in limbo as to what dimensions. But the Bible tells us the dimensions that were captured in his growth. He increased in wisdom, in stature, and then in favor with God and with men. And the Bible tells us these were the ingredients that were captured. A time came, having grown now in wisdom, stature, favor with God and with men, he now went to River Jordan, was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. And then Jesus is full, returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to grow, remember the Bible says we should look to Jesus, not just to a man of God, not just to a denomination. We only look to men as they look to Christ. When we confirm that they are not looking at Christ, we are scripturally authorized to stop looking at them. Is God blessing us already? Yes. You will be a terrible man of God when you raise people and as they grow. You see, when a little child is crippled, you will not see the effect until he becomes an adult. That's when you will see how bad it was. So there, the certain imbalances, some of us, it may not show yet because we are growing. But then when you now become a pastor with members and God gives you 1,000, 10,000, 20,000 members, and you see the effect of your personal bias rub off on a generation of people. I can hate prosperity because of an imbalance in the dealings of God. And because of the level of the anointing you will see in my life, you will believe that that's how God trains people. And I will indoctrinate you into hating it. Or I can love money and trivialize God, trivialize prayer, trivialize fellowship. And because of the extent of the results you see in one area, you will be convinced that it is a justification to ignore those other areas too. Remember my teaching, the full gospel, the lamb's wife. He says, come and I will show you the lamb's wife. He says, he showed me a city that was equal in length, equal in breadth, equal in height. That's the lamb's wife. Any dimension that is outside of that is not the lamb's wife. The lamb's wife is stable and balanced. Regardless of how you turn her, she has gained stability through knowledge. So I'm saying this so that you appreciate what it is that God is making of you. Listen, what you are becoming is no secret. God has already given us a picture. We are following a roadmap. The growth process is not a guesswork. Are we together now? There is a blueprint that is given. And if you are humble enough to submit to the dealings of the Spirit, as painful as it may sound sometimes, you trust God enough and follow with your childlike heart and watch the wonder that you begin to become. The same way you can tell a student who just got an MBBS admission and you say, just follow me, I'm your lecturer, I give you a guarantee that in 6 years you will be a doctor. And the naive young man or woman just says, well, I will follow. And they may be teaching a boring course and the person is saying, what is all this? Let's talk about something. And then by the time the doctor stands with a patient, he will begin to appreciate the relevance of the course that he once said boring. because you will see that that boring course would now become a lifesaver to someone in the hospital. Remember that the goal of this system of teaching and mentorship is not for you to remain a member. God never raised the body to remain members. We are raised to become kingdom ambassadors. That means a time should come in your life when our gathering together should be to further fire ourselves, and then we go back and begin to legislate on behalf of the kingdom. If this is not happening, we are wasting our time and we are wasting God's time. It's as simple as that. Are we together now? So you have to understand that the growth process that God is achieving in our lives is very exact. Let me remind us very quickly. Number one, his first interest and in order of priority is your spiritual health. I can tell you that God desires that we become spiritually alive. The Bible says to be alive unto God. I've preached all kinds of messages along this line. I just need to remind us. He said, I will not be negligent to remind you of these things, although ye already know them and are established in this present truth. Your spiritual health. No matter what you have in life, if you do not know God, you are at a disadvantage. As mysterious as God is, he has created systems to help men know him. This is one proof of his love. The Bible says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the strong man glory in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his wealth or riches. He says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That means the pride, the zenith of your achievement as a believer, is not just cars and houses and influence, etc. It is your knowledge, a sound, settled, not just the knowledge of God doctrinally, but that experientially you can say, I know whom I believe. Not just that I heard about him. Not just that I went through a Bible school where they taught about him. I know whom I believed. And I am persuaded. When you get to that level, you are spiritual. Are we together now? And then number two, transformation. That's one of the things that God seeks to achieve. The Bible calls it the renewal of the mind. In fact, it says in 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, the culmination, the perfection of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Are we together now? And the Bible says that we are transformed. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind, the word let there means permit. This is not my teaching tonight, but it's important that we are all on the same page. It says, permit this mind, this thinking, this paradigm, this plane of understanding to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means it matters to God, it matters to his agenda, and should matter to you that you are transformed. And I discovered something of recent. The Holy Spirit has really been opening me to a lot of things. The Lord told me that the hallmark of transformation is not knowledge, it's love. You know you are truly transformed, not just by the extent and the vastness of your spiritual knowledge, but you know you are transformed to the degree to which the love of Christ, remember it says that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then it says the love of God, not the love for God. Not just the love towards God. God has a dimension of love that he seeks to see expressed in every human being. And we have that different dimensions of love as human beings. But God is not satisfied. He wants to see his kind of love at work in you. And only when he sees that would he guarantee that you can represent him. The Bible says that God is love. And it says whoever loves, it doesn't just mean whoever has a nice feeling towards another person. No, whoever on earth can reflect love, that dimension must have been born of God. So the hallmark of your transformation is not just knowledge. You can be vast in knowledge and not love. And the truest proof of love for God is in your love for men. This is very simple but powerful. You are a hypocrite to believe you love God when you cannot love men. The Bible says it, that you cannot claim to love God whom you have not seen when it is difficult or impossible for you to love the men that you have seen. Do you know why? Because men are unlovable. There is a grace that helps you love men. When you know how wicked, how selfish the versions of men that are on earth qualify, that if you really love them, it has to be God's kind of love that can love like that. It is only the love of God that can be shared abroad like that towards men. With your human love, you have to love someone and hate the other. If you love people regardless of the way they are, then that's no longer human love. That love came from heaven. In every 24 hours, there's enough foolishness on earth to annoy you. And if your love remains the same, then it is not yours. It came from heaven. So the hallmark of transformation is not just knowledge. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love. Other versions say charity. It says I am nothing. Though I offer my body to be burnt, though I understand all mysteries and all prophecies, and I have not love. He said I'm only a clinging cymbal. Then he says love is patient, love is kind, love is humble. It hopes for all things, believes all things, endures all things, and so on and so forth. He says, whether there be tongues, they will end. There be prophecies, they will end. Are we together now? Love. Number three, God wants you to excel in the area of your purpose, your assignment, and your destiny. This is a recap that we must never get tired of. We need to know, where is God going with me? What is he trying to achieve in my life? Now, sometimes we men of God just confuse people by making it look like it's an endless journey with no idea. No, there are very exact ideas. The God of the Bible does not leave men in confusion. The pathway may not be known, but he will always show you the destination. Are we together now? Yes. Your assignment and your destiny. You are not useful to God and you are not useful to your generation if you do not live out the fullness of God's intent for you. The Bible says, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me to do your will. There is an assigned portion of influence, of impact to me and to you. Imagine if I did not obey God to have koinonia today. Imagine the lives that would be destroyed. The same way there is a generation waiting for the dimension of God invested and committed to you. And sometimes many people are fortunate to follow a path, a career path that is in sync with their destiny. This is the secret of cheap excellence. They find out that with little efforts they are excelling and they may not even know why. It's because either by guidance or by the mercy of God, they have found themselves along career paths that synchronize naturally with the assignment and the call and the purpose and the destiny for them. You must find out what you're on earth for. Not everybody will be uniquely given an assignment, like a pioneering assignment. For many people, their visions are in other people's visions. Not everyone, you see. So if your assignment is in someone else's assignment, there are certain details that would not need to be given to you. You will only be guided and you will be given a heart that makes you loyal and you follow. And then you will find your place. There are people whose destiny and place and assignment is in koinonia. But there are others who are going to be the ones to create the umbrella that others will come to be blessed in. You will know it by the meticulousness of their training. There are many things you can take for granted in your times of training, and God will not disturb you because there is a cover, and that cover will adjust and help. But if you are going to pioneer any move of the Spirit, the strictness that will be added to your disciplines, you will need mentorship to explain to you, otherwise you will think God hates you. Five people will do something and God will not say anything. You try the same thing and you will see what will happen. You will have to pray for 1 or 2 weeks to understand. God, what is this? It is about the assignment, not the individual. God wants us to excel. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. We are a city that is set on a hill, right? That cannot be hidden. He said, neither do men light a lamp. Many believers look at these mysteries that Jesus taught and think they are just simple things for children. The more you know God and the more God gives you a mind that thinks, you will appreciate the dealings of the Lord. Just help those under the anointing outside there. Are we together? Number four. What does God want to see in your life? A manifestation of the multifaceted possibilities that are resident in the Christ. A manifestation of the multifaceted possibilities. A manifestation in your life now of the multifaceted possibilities that are resident in the Christ, the Son of God. God does not only seek, my brothers and my sisters, that we love God. God does not only seek that we are transformed and have excellence in our lives. God wants that our lives be a demonstration. I think Galatians chapter 1, if I'm not mistaken, and verse 29, I hope I'm right. The Bible says, and they glorified God in me. That means you can see a man and that man becomes an effulgence of the possibilities. He becomes a definition of something about God that you did not know. Shalakatosiana. So you see a dimension of the sheer power of God flow through a mortal man. It's a message. God is glorified by that manifestation. You know that this gentleman or this woman could not have been born this way. How would you know her name? How would you declare? And the power of God is lifting people. God is really glorified when the saints can transfer the realities. I call them the multifaceted possibilities. It is with this dimension that we dumbfound principalities and powers. This is what must shine before men so that they will see. Then you manifest a dimension of kingdom, wealth, and prosperity, and yet your heart is not in it. This is what frustrates Satan, because if your heart is in it, then Satan has a justification. He says, like the rest. But what strategy did you use to be so wealthy yet your heart is with God? That is a message that the principalities and powers must study. People don't get wealthy with their heart in another place, because where your treasure is, your heart should be there. So by what system? Your treasure is in the bank and your heart is in heaven. And the world says, no, I don't sleep until the key to my safe is on my waist. There are people like that. They tie it like a charm and feel it as archaic as it is. That is what gives them satisfaction. And then they see you. Today you are rejoicing. Tomorrow you carry what you have and give it and you are still rejoicing. And they say, no, you are operating by another system. And you let them know that my heart has never been around those things. My heart is guarded in the safe arms of God, unperturbed by the vicissitudes of life. This is what God wants to make out of our lives. If you don't believe this part, many people will not be born again through your life, because we live in a very controversial world and Satan has formulated all kinds of things to make sure people hate God. So God beckons on you. Are we together now? Chapter 15 and verse 8, John, he says, hearing, this is how God is glorified. When God, Jesus is teaching here, not a prophet, not an apostle. Jesus is telling you how the Father gets glory. He says, hearing is our Father glorified. That ye bear much fruit. Say much fruit. Say notable results. One more time, say it. Say notable results. The Bible says that God is glorified not when we give explanations, when we bear much fruit. He said, by so doing, it will be a validation that we were mentored by him. A disciple is one who has submitted himself under the tutelage of a rabbi. And no disciple becomes greater than his master. But the zenith of your discipleship is when you become as your master. So he says, When you bear much fruit, you confirm that I'm the one who trained you, that I'm the one who lifted you. Are we together now? Romans chapter 8, when you read from verse 18, it says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then 19 says, for the earnest expectation, listen very carefully, of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. Not the explanation, not the discussion, not the argument, the manifestation. One of the versions says that creation is waiting for the sons to reveal who they truly are. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 says, arise, shine, it says, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amplified puts it this way. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration that situations and circumstances have kept you. It says, rise to a new light. Arise. The body of Christ must arise. This chicken thing that people do around, as if God is a weak God that cannot pay bills. God is a weak God that cannot lift men. God is a, no, no. We need to change the representation of God. Do you know what it means to represent Him? It means to present again. When they say to represent, means he was presented in error. Tasha Cobb said there is an army that is rising. We are not just going to break every chain. There was no room to add more to that song. It's not just break every chain. It's like the Bible says, to make a showcase of the multifaceted wisdom of God. That principalities and powers may be shown through the church, the multifaceted dimension of God's wisdom. That wisdom that is called the hidden wisdom through the ages, that none of these princes knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he's helping us. Say the life of God, the power of God, the revelations of God, the might of God will flow through my life to my generation. Say it again, will flow through my life to my generation. That God can find in a lineage of 50 people nobody to rise. And you are not just a tongue talker. This thing has touched my spirit now. That you can get to a point where you say, I not only bring you a message, I bring you evidence. A witness is not a witness until he has evidence. When you go to the law court, your speakings alone is not your evidence. An evidence is a token of truthfulness, a proof that what you said is not a lie. We cannot just be noisemakers moving around, saying what God can do, saying he can heal, and our mothers are watching and their lives are changing. I mean, for the worst. No! Witnesses must arise with tokens of truthfulness, that we serve a God that is provable, whose might is demonstrable. It says, you come before me with your spears and all of this, but I come before you in a name. I'm not a talkative. When Moses stood before Pharaoh, he came with a message, but that message was backed up with a mantle. Listen, let me tell you, we will never be able to do much for the kingdom if all we have is just a message. Tarry in Jerusalem. I already told you what to say, but wait until the evidence comes. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That power will make you a witness, because the power will give you the fortitude to demonstrate the reality of what you are claiming. There's too much talk in the body of Christ. We wrap all kinds of things about what God can do. God will touch you. God will change your family. Amen. Amen. And at the end of it, to the point that we are tired, even us, we don't believe it. We know it's not true. Both the preacher and the listeners. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And Elijah said, no, let's go to Mount Carmel. If Baal be Baal, be God, let's know today. If God be God, let's know today. They called upon Baal, the Bible says, from morning till evening. Wise man, because he knew that the evening sacrifice was a mystery in the spirit, and he allowed them to waste their time. When it was evening, he said, now clear the way for me. Let me show you how we operate in the kingdom. He set up the altars and put everything and called on the God of heaven. That day, salvation came. There has to be a generation with proofs. Proofs is not falling down. Proofs is the testimony. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I came and I sat down in his presence. Was Jacob not in a place in the night? No keyboard playing. But the Bible says that place was the gate of heaven, and he called it the house of God, meaning every house of God must have a gate from that place that touches the heaven. If the gate of heaven is not there, it is not the house of God. The house of God is not just a place where they play music well. The house of God is a place where a portal has been created that touches the heavens and the earth. That when you speak, there is a throne that backs you, validating that that place is the house of God. It is with this grace that we will break the pride of the arrogant, those who sit down and mock our God. Just because we are quiet does not mean we are disarmed. Let me tell you, a generation will rise. The Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion. It says, sound the alarm upon my holy mountain. And then it begins to give a description of an army. It says, before them is like the Garden of Eden, behind them a desolate wilderness. Please listen to what I'm saying. The church has scarceness of the demonstration. What we call demonstration is just for these kind of things that are happening now. That's what we pride ourselves around. Oh, I touched somebody and he fell down. Will God waste his time to die just to touch somebody's head to fall down? What foolishness. We're talking of the ability to manipulate a territory and keep it down for the sake of God. Elijah stood not in a radio station and made a proclamation over a territory. There will not be rain over a period of 3.5 years. Territorial dominion, the grace over territories. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I apportion to you a kingdom. There is a grace over territories. Until we get there, we are just joking and making noise. Nobody will listen to our gospel. We only have emotional people getting born again once here, twice here. When you want to touch the heart of kings, you must bring result that is not in their palace. I've not even started my message. Listen, I told myself, either God will continue to empower me to be able to speak the purposes of God in lives and generations. You don't know how it pains me when I hear that someone that was prayed for still died. Someone that, you know, most preachers just move around and say, there's one testimony. This person was healed. How many others were not healed? Should give us a sense of concern. You prayed for 100 people, 2 people were healed. Is that a testimony? That in a service like this, must the man of God say, demons, I cast you for them to go? Are they that disrespectful? Should you not come with a fire that as you show up in a place, you are bringing the altar of your secret place? Should they sit down listening to the sermon? Did you invite them? God help me. Nothing is working in my life. And we lie to people. May God bless you. May God change you. And nothing changes. They know. They are not stupid to not return. If they are blessed, they will be too grateful to keep quiet. One testimony of a madman being healed in Gadara brought a Decapolis to Jesus. One testimony. One genuine, unfaked testimony. Let me tell you, all this fight and dropping prayer requests, oh God, save my family members. There is just one thing. There is a way the fire of God comes to settle in the center of your family and shift things within 1 week. Pharaoh said, God is God. Pharaoh, a wizard, confess Jesus. The results of Job made Satan to testify before God. Satan went before God and said, I testify. I went to, I just didn't find anything. I told God before I started ministry, and it's still my vow. I said, Lord, I have no business wasting people's time. I'm not there yet, but I cannot sit down in one place. How many minutes should it take for someone to be lifted? How many minutes should it take for someone's situation to be turned around? We have done well teaching the word, but my brothers and sisters, we must carry something. When you wear a good cloth, even you see what happens to the people around you because you dressed well. So there are spiritual garments that we can wear that can cause territories to know that there is a God in heaven. By the time you don't beg your family members for 1 naira, there is no basis for stopping you about spiritual things again. By the time you sow a seed that is equivalent to the salary of your father all his lifetime, and you say, this is just the faithfulness of God, I have to run to church, and he says, you are still a worker. You say, yes, a faithful worker for that matter. Then we educate them. Have you not been told that out of Zion will come the law? There is an education that will come from Zion. We have seen the one that came from Cosmos, but there is a curriculum we need to tell the world, sit down, let's teach you. This your pride that you come and harass a pastor, harass believers. No, out of Zion shall come the law. He said, we will come to you and say, teach us his ways, because of the superiority of the result. Please, where you are now, I don't know how I got to this message now, but I want you to cry and say, Lord, let my life produce results. This is a notable miracle, and we cannot deny it. You can deny miracles you are not sure of. How do you deny a dead body that came back to life? How do you deny a barren woman that is now pregnant with child? There are notable dimensions, incontestable by the pride of Babylon. Shabraketuka shelebakaronda sadabahashkalash. And the Kaleko Tapakas Kotaberasus. Lord, as a prophet, give me genuine results. As an apostle, place genuine grace upon my life. Malakatos Kabrakatos. Lord, let me not carry things I'm not sure of. These things I'm not sure of. Make propositions I cannot defend in the spirit. Shakata bakatosh, shakata preskato kalako senekatosh, embrakato sekatekete balakatosh. Lord, if favor is real, let my life show it. If your mercy is real, let my life show it. If the anointing is real, let my life show it. If prophecy is real, let my life show it. If the spirit of revelation is real, let my life show it. Let me be a bodily manifestation of the multifaceted possibilities resident in the Christ. If you are a restorer, let it show. If you are a lifter, oh God, let it show. What name will my experience with you give my generation? What title, what new name will my experience with you give my generation? What name will I tell my children I know you to be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Amen. Listen. My Bible says, for everyone that seeketh, findeth. That means many people are not seeking. Just because you hang around a room where you suspect something is missing does not mean you are seeking. My son, he says, pay attention to my words. He says, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not depart from them. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. He says, they are life, not to Christians, to those who find them, and health to their flesh. My brothers and my sisters, when you find it, Gentiles will come to your life. Forget about their pride. They will come. Yes, sir. And kings to the brightness of your rising. The worst is that you will be criticized, but no man can deny the finger of God. They saw Jesus and said, this is Beelzebub. He said, if I cast out devils by the prince of devils, with whom do your fathers cast out devils? He was bringing a new order. A woman bound for 18 years, going to church every week, and the priests were talking jargons. Here comes Jesus. And he says, woman, thou art loose from your infirmity. And the people wanted to harass her. And he says, were you not told that as a daughter of Abraham, there are privileges that accrue to your life? Listen, my success as a man of God is not in my traveling around to go and minister to many people. I am blessed. I love God. I thank God for it. But my greatest success is the testimony of the undeniable hand of God in your life. It's true. You see, let me tell you, it's like a man seeing you drink water and saying, what is there with water? Just leave him. When thirst comes, you must find water. That means we must trust God to see the areas in our lives where the multifaceted dimensions of God are yet to be fully captured. This is why, although you are getting results, you still come to learn. Because in certain areas, there still remaineth a rest for the people of God. You have not yet entered your Sabbath in certain areas. By the grace of God, you have gotten the principles of prayer, for instance. You have gotten the revelations of the word, but you are yet to see the grace for performance. So there is still a Sabbath that you need to enter in that area, and it will cause you to continue to press. One day, like light from heaven, something will open to you. By the time you go back to your fellowship, and then you are praying, you will see the missing link, and your eyes will see. One day you will sit down. I think it was, I was teaching years ago outside. One gentleman, he was, I'm sure one of these scholars or Islamic scholars or so. He was sitting outside when I was teaching on the reality of heaven and hell. And all of a sudden, the heavens were open. And that gentleman, his eyes, he was not in Koinonia again. And he was having a separate encounter with Jesus, and that's how he got born again. Please don't criticize proofs, value it. Results make your life worth following. Result makes your messages worth listening to. Don't criticize proofs, your life will be difficult without it. We call Harvard Harvard because of the proofs in the lives of the students that come there. You're a man of God here, please listen. We need proofs. If you're a man of God connected to this ministry, truly let me tell you, I will be disappointed in the dealings of God with you if you do not carry a minimum requirement of fire and grace and revelation. There must be a token, an evidence of truthfulness upon your life. Go for a meeting and you are preaching and someone is sleeping because of the nonsense you are saying. You are quoting rubbish, talking, making noise, all kinds of things. Do men not revere the presence of God again? Have you forgotten what happens when God is really in a place? For some of us, the one thing we lack is freshness. Freshness. You can know you are not fresh, and your staleness is detectable. You can raise a song and it didn't sound like last week again. What happened? Please sit down. How did I get here? Mighty God. Our time is gone. I'm telling you, I couldn't even touch what I'm doing now. Let's at least touch something and then we'll pray. If we close here, I think you got something. True? You got something. Graces. When Benga was up here, he was sharing these exact same things. You see that? If there be a messenger, there are things that must happen in your life. Messengers are sent. If you send me to a Jimmy and I get to him, there should be what you send me to give. You see that? Imagine that I say, wait for me, and I come and meet you and you say, so what is it? I made you cancel every other thing. Let's make the presence of God worth it. Let's make staying in the house of God worth it. That when people say it's time for church, I was glad when they said unto me. Not just for the formality. Nobody will be glad coming to a place where there are no results. Human beings are not stupid. In the days of the generals, service will be starting by 6 and by 2 o'clock. 2 in the night, people will already be lining up. Because they know that one encounter, and from nowhere here she comes, a woman of God with power and fire, and whilst teaching people's lives, the presence of God should make our lives easy. So I'm passionate about seeing the multifaceted dimension of God's presence and God's life and God's glory find expression in us. And let me tell you, if you listen to the things that God is revealing to you in this place, they will produce results in your life. They will. It's true. You've heard me say that we will all be great. And the greater part is that we'll all know ourselves. It's not just a cliche that was invented by man's intelligence. There is no way you will not rise. That's why for those who allow these mundane things to distract them against their gaze on Christ and his dealings, they're not wise, because it is in your focus that you are able to walk on water and meet Jesus. Are we together now? So we thank God for all of these things, these blessings, but our gaze remained on him. They looked up to him. And their faces were lightened, the Bible says, and they were not ashamed. Write this down, please. Let's see what we can do, and then we'll pray. I tell you, my spirit is fired up already. When the presence and the power of God is visibly made manifest in your life, then you are walking under an open heavens. When the power of God, when the presence of God is made manifest in your life, then it is true that you are walking under an open heavens. Every time the heavens opened in scripture, it was associated with rain. It was associated, like in the case of Ezekiel, with the visions of God. When there are notable miracles, signs, wonders, transformation in your life and through your life to others, then your heavens are said to be open. Number two, when you step into an unusual dimension of encounters, supernatural encounters, the visions of God, the revelatory dimensions of the Spirit, when you step unusual visitations, unusual encounters, unusual spiritual illumination, these are proofs that your heaven is open. Please write it down. So when the power of God is visibly made manifest in your life, when you operate under a frequency, now this has nothing to do with being called into the prophetic. In fact, it has nothing to do with being a minister of the gospel, in as much as we know the fivefold ministry. No, it is simply a state of spiritual health and a dimension that you have pressed to, that you can access the visions of God. He says that I was by the river Sheba, and then the heavens were open, and I saw the visions of God. I saw the visions of God. I saw the visions of God. Jesus himself was, he saw Nathanael and he said, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael comes to him and says, while you were under the tree, I saw you. And Nathanael was amazed. He said, just because I've seen this, you have seen this, you are amazed. He said, you shall see greater things than this. What are the greater things? You shall see the heavens. So the heavens opening is not a small matter. God calls it a greater thing. It's a greater dimension. That you see your heavens open, and then you see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The same experience happened in chapter 28 of Genesis. The Bible says that Jacob got to a place and put a stone there and laid down there for to sleep. Then the Bible says that he dreamed a dream and he saw the visions of God. A ladder connecting the earth to the heavens and angels ascending and descending. At the top of it was God himself. And he says, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. Until then, there was no God of Jacob. He was creating his testimony, giving God room to call himself the God of Jacob. And then God began to proclaim blessings upon him. And then he says, surely the Lord was in this place. And then I knew not. He blessed the place. This is the house of God, the gate of heaven. Open heavens is very powerful. Jesus, one time, when he finished speaking with the disciples, the Bible says he was right there in their presence. He began to levitate. And as he raised, a cloud received him. And two men came and said, why worry about Jesus? The same Jesus you saw going up, he will return the same way you have seen him go. So God wants to grant us access to illumination. Listen, let me tell you, it is no secret on earth that if all you see is what is on earth, you will never rise beyond it. It is not a secret that men who reign, people whose lives are invincible in this earth realm, are men who have been granted access to the seeing eyes and the hearing ears. Whether it is through the operation of dark powers or it is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter. You will never prosper in this kingdom if all you see is what people are saying. There are treasures of darkness and there are hidden riches in secret places. And the Lord vowed that he would grant it unto us. Is that true? The scripture that we began to pray with, the Bible tells us that the earth can bring out salvation. Salvation can come from the earth. When you farm and your produce grows, salvation came from the earth because you will eat of it. It says, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. Was it not the earth that opened and swallowed men and closed by? Where did they go to? The earth is a living thing. It has chambers. It can hear. That's why it can give life to seeds when they die. The earth is like a womb. Something can be sown in it and it can give out. And the Bible says the earth, like a woman whose pregnancy has been overdue, open up and bring the salvation that is hidden within you. These are not things that are taught in school. You must be given access to the eyes of the Spirit. And that only happens when your heavens are open. Listen carefully. Because the way that we are going about our lives, it will only end up in pain and misery until the secrets of God are given to us. And the Bible says that the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenants. Is God speaking to us? Secrets of God. You don't walk in the anointing just because you read a book about it. Just because an anointed man wrote a book. No. It is in his light that you see light. You can be reading a novel written by Joshua Selman. And while you are reading, the Holy Spirit must open between that page. And then you see something no one has seen. That becomes the spirit and the life of God's word. And the entrance of that word, not just what you are reading, will give life to you, and you will be able to prove it. There are times that I've been reading books and I stayed on a page for only God knows how long, because I circled that page and I found out that the reason why I took that book was that one page. I read something that didn't make sense, and God joined it with another thing that didn't make sense, and it became a key. 1, 2, 3, and a door opens, and there you are, a new dimension. And you will know you have entered a new dimension. Like a baby knows he's no longer in the womb. The baby doesn't cry in the womb. So when the baby comes out, he knows that this is a new environment. 1, 2, and the baby is crying. New environment. You can know, I was here yesterday in the spirit, and now I am here. I was here in prophecy. I was here in revelation. There is a greater command of spiritual authority. I see. I know there is a greater carriage. There is a greater arsenal. You can know that the angels that walked with you from 2000 to 2007, they are no longer the angels. You see it by the rate of performance. That a word is sent and you see that there is an ease of performance. You know that something, like they promote a man and say you are now a director, and you find a car there, you find a new house help. The same angels don't work with people all the time. No. Angels are appointed to levels and offices. They are not just appointed to men. When you step into levels and offices, there are angels that are left like that. One angel, read your Bible and see how many people they defeated. When angels threw hailstone, did they kill people? Yes. The manna that fell from heaven, although the Bible doesn't say that angels brought it, but the Bible says it's angels' bread. You should know things are changing in your life. So the visions of God. Number three, let me give us one more. How do I know my heaven is opened? Now take note. When there is a notable operation of favor and abundance, mark these two words. I'm not talking on finances, but let me tell you sincerely, my brothers and my sisters, your heavens are really closed. If you do not step into a notable dimension of favor and abundance, it's true. Joel chapter 2. Let me show you something. The Holy Spirit just ministered something to my heart. We are going to pray. Joel 2. Be glad then, 23, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause down to come down. To come where? To come where? To come down. The rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Then what will happen? 24. And the floors shall be what? Intelligent people, talk to me. It didn't say on your stomach. It didn't even say your storehouse. It says your floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Open heavens. Open heavens. Where your floor is full of wheat, and then your fats shall overflow. The fats there is just your bands, your presses, with wine and with oil. When your heavens are open, abundance must answer to your life. It is true. It has nothing to do with background. Now, let me tell you something I have learned. When you operate under an open heavens, listen, there are dimensions. Follow me, please. Let me have your attention. When your heavens are open, there are dimensions. Whoever comes within the spiritual climate of your open heavens, within that time they are with you, they will tap into the possibilities that your open heaven provides. That means I can go to come, gentlemen, I can go to visit this gentleman, and he has no business receiving favor, but because I carried a spiritual climate, I just enter his house, I came to visit you, and someone who has no business calling him will call him. He's been manipulated by the climate that I'm working under. It's true. There are men who are blessed because other men are there. There are men who are oppressed because other men are there. Jonah entered the boat of people who should arrive safely. They were meant to arrive safely, but because a man who carried a climate of disobedience, and Jonah kept quiet as if he didn't know what was happening. Jonah, your Jonah was in a boat, and people were there, and they started losing properties. That means there are men that carry climates. When a man who carries a close heaven comes to you, it can affect you. Listen, please listen to what I'm saying. Jonah sat down inside the boat. While they were throwing their properties, Jonah kept quiet. And then they were about to cast lots, and Jonah said, look, don't waste your time. I'm the reason. I'm carrying something that is making... Remember, they didn't believe, or didn't... Whether they believed in Jonah or not, the climate was working. Jesus sent the 70 with his climate. He said, go. And they returned and said, ah, master, even the demons were subject to us in your name. And he says, do not rejoice just because of this. In other words, this is not your making. I gave you an atmosphere to go with. Your joy is that your name now is written. That means you now have access to also carry that climate. Let that be your joy. Not that you are moving with another person's climate, but now you have become a partaker yourself. Your name is written. You can now carry a distinct spiritual climate. He said that should be your joy. Jesus is teaching here. You see that? So you can get into a place and bring what was given to you in the secret place. You don't have to say this is what was given. It speaks. Grace speaks. Anointing speaks. Let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, if you carry real fire, it speaks. Because you see, there are angelic beings that are protectors of God's reputation upon your life. The Bible says that these angels confirm the words of his messengers. They don't confirm your word, provided you are in that spiritual office and ranking. They have been mandated to protect the integrity of God committed to your life. So you will find out that the possibilities that happen in the atmosphere with one man, the same God is there, yes, but the possibilities are not the same, because the spiritual climates by which we operate in, they are not the same. The possibilities, the system of defense that can stand for one person may not happen for the other. You may insult another person and go scot-free. You insult another person and you will not last 2 days. Everything leaves you, because there are angels, is in Kedars. They defend the integrity of God committed to people. You see, listen, this ministry, you see, there are covenants and ordinances, and there are angels assigned to signify that revelation. Revelations 1 verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus, which he gave unto his servant John. He said he sent it and signified it by his angels. Angels signify revelations. They confirm that it is true, this anointing was given to this individual. There are graces that were given to me, and if I make utterances that resonate with those graces, there are angelic beings mandated to validate that it is true. If I make claims over graces I were not given, you will be surprised how it will look as if I'm not anointed. Are you getting this now? Please get this. This night's message is for impartation. Just get it after Koinonia and just quietly sit down. Listen to it in the night and just soak your spirit and see what happens. I really believe that what is happening to us is impartation. What is an impartation? A transference of possibilities. That's it. Transference. Listen, God does not transfer spiritual possibilities by distributing it to all men. God finds a man and enters a covenant with that man to represent a spiritual portal on earth by which men can access that possibility, so that anyone that will enter into that possibility will do it in alignment to that man and the covenant he has with God. That's how spiritual possibilities are distributed. God finds men, uniquely builds their spirit, enters a covenant that allows God to flow in that dimension through that one man. Then he mandates creation to align with the grace and the covenant upon that individual. He said, look unto your father Abraham. You will never prosper on earth neglecting the man Abraham. He is God's idea. You will never rout the blessing of the spirit. Even though you come through Christ, the Bible says, Galatians 3:29, it says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So even in Christ, he still routes you back to the man, the patriarch, Abraham. These are the mysteries that this kingdom operates in. They are not opinions, no. And those who have done it consciously or not find out that suddenly the realm of the spirit is not particularly biased to them. They may not be so smart, but by the foolishness of the understanding spiritual things, then they step into it. There are angels in this city. Once it is Friday and once it is Koinonia time, remember the Bible says the angels are the gatherers. They move around and they war against the forces of darkness that would try to stop people from coming. It's a covenant, it's an ordinance. Please sit down. I don't know if I should continue or we'll just pray. I really don't know what God is doing this night, but I'm happy about it. So I said, the possibilities, listen, do you know why we sacrifice so much to be able to host superior dimensions of God's presence and walk under an open heavens, because our alignment is proof of love. We can carry your climate and borrow someone your spiritual climate, so that the testimonies that have been long overdue, your climate affords God an opportunity to visit the person fast because of your presence. He said, if you enter a house, meaning you entered with certain things, if they receive you, let that thing you came with rest on them. But if they refuse, let that means that thing on you is a living thing. It can move. It can return back to you, and you dust your feet and leave them with their closed heavens. My brothers and my sisters, let me tell you, I wish that what I were telling you were a lie. I would have just apologized to say sorry, but it is true. This is not a call to idolize men. Don't get me wrong. I'm teaching you open heavens. The possibilities that accrue to a man who pays the price to walk under an open heavens is a wonder. Nothing short of a wonder. Let's write so we can pray. Let me give you three keys that will help you to live under an open heavens. Number one, please write it. No matter how many times you've listened to this, listen to it again. The first key is a life of fervent and effectual prayer. The first key to living under an open heavens is a life of fervent and effectual prayer. Isaiah 64, please. Isaiah 64, please give it to us from verse 1. Effectual prayer. Prayer that must be strategic. Listen, let me tell you, many believers, I can tell you, do not have a consistent prayer life. Many have a prayer life. The problem is the consistency. Look at me. When you give birth to a baby, the mother breastfeeds the baby how many times? For as long as the growth process of the child demands. There is no hard and fast rule. There may be some medical guide here and there, but once that baby is crying in need of food, what happens? A good mother that cannot forget her suckling child will have to breastfeed that child. And now when the child is weaned from breast milk, what happens? Feeding still continues. The consistency of the feeding is what translates to the growth of the person. There are loads that this young boy you are seeing cannot carry now. Give this boy the next 9 to 10 years, he will be able to lift it. Give this young boy 20 years of eating, a time will come, he will carry you. Give him 2 more years in addition, he will beat you. Are you seeing the difference now? Now, this is somebody that you can beat and kick, meaning spiritually, that's how it is. A life of prayer. Show me a weak believer. You don't know anything. You are a shy, ashamed, confused, scattered person. Set your altars like Elijah and remain there and watch what happens. You may, the secret of prayer, brothers and sisters, look at me. The secret of prayers is not 8 hours per day. The secret of prayer is staying. The staying power, it becomes part of the ordinances that run your life. Many believers are fire brigade prayer warriors. The moment you hear something that is alarming, you just crash into God and you sit down for 8 hours in one day, praying and sleeping and praying and sleeping. No, you have to create a culture out of prayer if you want your heavens to be open. Let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, those who really pray genuinely with understanding walk under an open heavens. It's true. You can know the palpability of their open heavens can be felt. A man can be an accurate Bible study teacher, but that Bible study is not backed up by the ministry of prayer. You will feel something. It's like there is a resistance. The doctrine is sound, but the delivery is crippled because the heavens are closed. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. This is not a discussion. It's a prayer. That thou wouldest come down. Why? That the mountains may flow down at your presence. That you will rend the heavens. You get up in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. The devil blows the breeze of cold around your life. You say, the devil, you're a liar. I'm on my way going somewhere. You don't have to make noise for everybody to know you are praying. Because sometimes you live with people that will be angry and will harass you. And it's honest on them. Someone cannot be working hard and just because you are the roommate, if you are shouting under the anointing, at least he can understand. You can pray under your breath and command fire that will reach the heavens. Roast everything on the way till it reaches heaven, like the sacrifice of Abel. It will start as if you are playing. While you are praying, the devil is trying to toy around with your mind. If our generation becomes prayerless, we are in trouble. Hear me, yo. If our generation becomes prayerless, we are in trouble. Prayer is not everything, but in the matters that only prayer can solve, there is no replacement. You must stay. There are times that you don't pray for 1 week to get God answer. You must pray and pray till a day will come. You will know that today's prayer was not a usual prayer. You will get up as usual. And the next thing, you wake up and see that you have been under the anointing for a long time. You will return back with visions and strategies. You will know that God visited me. Do you know why many believers do not have visitations? When you mention visitations, encounters, most believers don't even know. Encounters seldom happen when we are just carelessly sitting around. There must be that spiritual investment of prayer. Prayer is an investment. You have to keep saturating your spiritual climate with prayer. It's like a spiritual bank you are making deposits. Let me tell you, when that cloud is heavy, it's not just over money issues. Answers will begin to come. Unfortunately, now our generation, we need to balance our teachings on prayer, because sometimes in a bid to create balance, we make mistakes and we're indoctrinating a generation to ignore the ministry of prayer. No. He spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. My dear ladies, pray. Prayer is not for men. Prayer is for anybody that wants to reign on earth. Children, pray. Don't pray and watch children roam around. That's why I like it when we fast here and our children join us and all of that. Teach them to pray. Samuel was under the spiritual climate of Eli. Forget that his eyes started becoming dim. Eli was always at the altar praying. And Samuel could afford to lie down close to the altar. And he benefited from the track record, the spiritual investment of Eli. And he had a voice. Samuel! And he got up, went to Eli, and he received a blueprint of his destiny. A husband that does not pray will have a nonsense family. Let me tell you, in this day and age, it's not enough for men to just have money. You must be a praying priest, not just a speaking priest. There are many speaking priests. You've heard me say it. I challenge the men, and by men, I don't just mean married men alone. I challenge the men. Take spiritual responsibility over your climate. Your children are sleeping and everybody is sleeping. Shakos katabata. Let them be used to hearing your voice in the night. Go and lay hands on them. They want to wake up, say, no, you just sleep. Let them know it as part of the incense. Let it be your evening sacrifice. People watch films overnight. Have you seen that happen in many families? I mean in the night or night vigil of films. One will finish, they will slot it back. If you do this kind of thing in this generation, let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, you will be too weak to prevail. It's a guarantee that I give you. You want to do ministry, especially, and stand again. Do you know the forces of darkness that fight an average man of God? Oh, come on. Have you seen bees? Have you seen one, you do drop honey somewhere or drop apple or something and see the amount of hungry reptiles and everything coming to fight. That's how you are. There are forces day and night that will fight tooth and nail to capsize the work of God upon your life. You must pray. And then you need fresh grace. This our generation is allergic to staleness. Once they mark you as a stale man of God, they will punish you in ministry for being stale. They will punish you with lack of invitations. Are we together now? Nobody will invite you to come for his or her conference and convention to just come and deliver nonsense. You must be fresh. It says the fire upon the altar must burn day and night. It must not go off. That means you must have the eyes to see when the coal is dying so that you trust God for grace again to put more coals. Now, it is my dealing with God and I have no right to just impart it on you. But let me tell you, I've explored this prayer thing a little and I can tell you, if you don't pray at night, you are not a prayer warrior. There are many people today claiming a prayer warrior is not somebody who prays in the prayer barn on Tuesday. A prayer warrior is somebody who has an altar that is known by the gates of hell, known by heaven, and known by the result it commands among men. What time did Jesus pray? Go and read your Bible. Jesus would get up and impregnate his day, because the morning is like a woman with a womb. You can impregnate her and then step back and watch as she delivers for you in the day. Please receive grace to conquer the spirit of slumber. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that every force fighting anyone's prayer life here, especially if you have the call of God upon your life, I decree over your life that altar that fights your prayer life, I crush it down now. I crush it down now. Men ought always to pray. Sensitivity is built in the place of prayer. Listen. If you are whether a prayer band leader, a group fellowship leader, listen to me. Many group fellowship leaders are the least prayerful people. Just because you pray in the group is usually for ego. The true strength of your prayer is what you do alone when no one is seeing you. Not just when. You can do a night vigil and a group leader can stand and pray just because he's praying for the people to hear. You must trust God so that men don't lie to you. They can put pressure on you. But when you are alone, there are encounters you don't have in a corporate system. You have to be alone. Lord, I'm awake again. One day becomes 1 week. 1 week becomes 1 month. 1 month becomes 1 year. 1 year becomes 2 years. And heaven is watching and saying, I think we need to measure 1,000 cubits to this man. We have seen the grace. We have seen the consistency. In the rain, you are praying. In the sun, you are praying. Under AC, you are praying. You are trusting God for grace. And God knows you are human. So sometimes he sees the way sleep has whipped you. And you drag yourself in the name of the Lord. Whatever skill you can employ, use worship, use whatever. Find one of my messages that I was shouting and drumming every slumber. Whatever you can do, it is your responsibility to invent the skills that keep you prayerful. Don't assume you will be prayerful just because you are anointed. It is a lie from the pit of hell. I tell you this. Listen, I live a very busy schedule, so I can tell you. Very busy schedule. You must intentionally trust God for grace and a strategy. If not, your spiritual life will go down while you are rising. I returned from a trip now. Tomorrow is my younger brother's wedding. Yes. Praise the Lord. By the way, pray for our family. Adorable young man. And he's going to be getting married tomorrow. I'm here now this night. I had to go and see them when I returned back from my trip from Abuja. I went to just to see them, make sure everything is well. Came back here to preach. I'm still going to see people this night. Tomorrow, first thing in the morning, I'm on my way to Jos. I'm even just going to show my face at the service and move, because I'm going to Gombe. There is a conference. from Gombe. I'm going to Abuja, returning back again here, and then I have a meeting with Nathaniel Bassey, and then everybody say ministry. Say breakthrough. That is the killer of anointings. If you only pray inside a plane, your prayer, the demons in Africa, let me tell you something. My brothers and my sisters, we come from regions that require seriousness. You must let the devil know you are serious for him to let you go. Even Jesus finished fasting and Satan came and said, what are you talking about? Jesus' fasting invited Satan. A man finishes fasting for 40 days and the first person he's seen is Satan. And Satan is not shaking and falling. Just sing two choruses, two prayer points, and drum your knees and round up. No. There are dimensions. I trust that, I don't know, we may not be able to do it this year. We need to train people on the dimensions of prayer. This give me tea, give me bread. Yes, God wants to give you. But these tongues God gave you is a deep mystery. If you are not filled with the Holy Ghost here, as I will always say, with evidence of praying in tongues, fluent tongues, spiritual languages, you have shortchanged your spiritual life. Because there are times that you need to hold on to the horns of the altar. You may not know what is going wrong, but you know something is wrong. And that thing wrong can be the life of your family member under a mess. The mercy of a kingdom ambassador. Someone's life is dangling. You are picking it in the spirit. You don't know exactly what is wrong. That is the time to pray, not for 30 minutes, until that load is lifted.
Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle.
Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Like a candle.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Like a candle.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Like a candle.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Light me, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Prayer. Let me give us one more for tonight and then we'll pray. So the ministry of prayer. The Bible says Elijah was a man of like passion. In other words, Elijah got hungry. In other words, Elijah could sleep. Let me tell you this. Please look at me. If you sense the call of God upon your life, let me tell you, step one is not to look for auditorium. Step one is not to look for an usher or a PA. Step one is not even to look for members. Step one is not to look for the person who will print handbill for you. I am Apostle A and B, and you disgrace yourself before men and before principalities. Nothing just happens. There is always another prophetess in the temple praying so that Jesus will arrive. If you see Jesus arrive, he didn't just come. Another prophetess was there, traveling in the spirit. Number two, sacrifice. Open heavens. Shabara katos gete brende gete katoshi alakata. The Macedonian church, the Bible says, gave of themselves. You find that in 2 Corinthians from chapter 8, from verse 1 to 5. It's talking about their givings. But every time we talk of sacrifice, people think it's all about money. My brothers and my sisters, the first sacrifice is you, not your offering, not your ATM. You can remove your shoe and drop in church and go back. Your shoe is a living sacrifice, but you are not a living sacrifice. God didn't say offer your shoes or offer your head or offer your brain. Are we together now? Yes. I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, he says, that ye offer not even your spirit, your body,
What is a sacrifice? Sacrifice suggests anything that is constraining. That means your body will feel it. Let's not lie to ourselves, my brothers and my sisters. The journey to greatness in the spirit will constrain you. A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. The Bible says that is your reasonable act of worship. Say sacrifice. As a man of God, you will need sacrifice. You are in an office where you are the only believer there. Automatically, you know that Satan has many bodies to be able to manipulate you. You will need to stand at an edge in the spirit through sacrifice. Sacrifice of your life. Sacrifice of your resources. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1 to 4. We're not going to read it. Sacrifice of your time. A sacrifice is anything that constrains you. Anything that is not naturally convenient for you to do. Sacrifice is a covenant in the spirit. Psalms 50 verse 5. Gather unto me my saints, they that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Sacrifice is a covenant. It is. Unfortunately, this our proud generation does not respect sacrifice. You see people command certain levels of result and you just believe they were just, the guy just prays, God just gave him grace for prayer. The guy just heals. Maybe he was fortunate to just meet Benny Hinn. No. We need to be people who respect sacrifice. Are we together now? Gather unto me my saints, but among those saints, they that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let me tell you this. Whether it is a sacrifice of your seed, whether it is a sacrifice of your life, there is a way you can sacrifice your life in the service of God. You have donated yourself to God. Let me see the devil that will come to bring shame and reproach to your life. They will obey if they obey and serve me. They obey and serve me. The Bible says they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Service. There are people in this ministry, let me tell you, before the devil touches them, maybe a nation would have been dead first. Because of the way they have carried themselves like an offering. The same way you put offering inside a basket, they wrap themselves inside an envelope and drop themselves and say, God, take, I've donated myself. The devil comes near God, if I see you near this world, because my kingdom is being promoted. There are many givers who don't sacrifice. If I'm a millionaire and I'm giving 100,000, is that a sacrifice? That's donation. Sacrifice of prayer. There are people who it is their life's ministry to pray for me. I know it and I see it sometimes in the spirit. Let me see the devil that will go to touch them. God say, this boy, this girl, this mama is praying for me day and night. Oh God, fresh fire. And then one devil wants to come and take their life. That's when you will know that there are angels on guard. Listen to what I'm telling you. It is true. Sacrifice. John the Beloved, he loved Jesus so much. Look at what happened unusually in his life. When you study Bible history, they carried him and dropped him inside boiling oil. Hot boiling oil. Like you are frying egg. And that guy just sat down inside that oil. He sat down inside the oil. Everything they tried to do, he was just watching them. And they said, let's leave him in an island. Just dropped him in an island called Patmos. And there the visions of God was given to him. What of Daniel? They conspired to punish that guy. When he stepped into the lion's den, an angel appeared. Is it not in your Bible? And said, dude, you come. Lion, come. Daniel didn't kill the lion. Daniel had an angel. You mustn't kill lions. They can be stopped. An angel appeared and said, Daniel, no. So there are touch not so. It's true. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he repented reprove kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. There are some of you have represented altars to your family. The darkness that usually will come to, every time they want to come, they see your face. And God said, I still have an ambassador in that family. Have you seen a dog try to pick something and you are standing there? He will go around, try to touch it, but he remembers you are there. He will turn and go around and you are there. Somebody is standing like an altar through sacrifice to your family. There are people, because of their sacrifice, God has vowed that they will never beg. You will be surprised to see how much they continue to disobey financial principles. But when God is blessing people, he will share it in a way that he must go around. And you are angry, God, come on, this is disobedience before everybody. And God will say, there's something they did. When they were roofing a church, the young lady emptied her 2,000 naira account and dragged it like a fool and came and said, God, take. And God said, you gave me 2,000, you're all. I have vowed you must marry a rich man. You will be surprised. This thing I'm saying, you will think it's sarcastic. Gentleman just stroll around and goes, I'm not the will for you. Not because there's anything wrong with marrying whoever, but just God, you use. See, everything God gave you, you can make a ladder out of it. Your seed can become a ladder. Your life can become a ladder. This man you are seeing, let me tell you, I submit to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God. This man you see is a bank of sacrifice. If you look at my hands, what you are going to see dripping is blood. There is nothing I cannot give God, and there is nothing I will not give. So when you see the little things God is doing here and there, don't think it's luck. Before you admire any man's result, find out first. Some of you, God can tell you, this brother is a prayer warrior, but I'm yet to teach him about finances. For my name's sake, take him home. And you cast the voice. You shared grace, you sang praise and worship, you even fell down. But the voice to sacrifice something, Lord, I didn't hear you. Don't allow, just because people make wrong these principles, does not mean that it is not a mystery. When God wanted sons, he carried Jesus, put him on an altar and sacrificed him. The result, he brought a harvest of many sons into glory. When you sacrifice your time, you will get something out of that time that is worth it. The law of sacrifice is important. In this kingdom, there is no such thing as something for nothing. I'm telling you this, believe me, it's not true. As cheap, salvation is the cheapest thing you can find in this kingdom. And even that, you must give God your time and your attention. And then come and make a commitment. The sacrifice of your ego is what you must drop on the line to receive with meekness. Is God speaking to us now? Yes. Sacrifice is a language our generation does not like. People come to church and after 1 hour they are frowning at the man of God. As soon as they share the grace, they will stand to gossip or talk about their needs behind a truck near the church for 3 hours. That means they were not tired. It was a spirit that was robbing them. People hurry up in services. As soon as the service is over, they go and open the boot of their car and bring out bread and puff puff and hug puff puff for 2 hours and not be tired. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful, to sit down and receive something by sacrifice. Nothing great just comes at a platter. Please, let's not lie to ourselves. Where is he? This is a doctor. They didn't dash him. They didn't hang. The Nigerian Association of, I think, medical students or so in Lagos, they did a false induction for me, and they made a stethoscope customized. I've not used it till now. The first time I tried the thing, I said, what in the world is going on? I'd rather hear the voice of God than the voice of my heart. I mean, are we together? This is a doctor. How he looks, notwithstanding, whether you like him or not, he's a doctor. After years of laborious study, are we together? He has earned the right to give you injection. Turn, he will turn, and he will give you injection because he has earned the right. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That's right. That's how people have earned the right through sacrifice too. They can look at you and say, God, have mercy on this. And you'll be surprised. You have been praying for 2 weeks. Oh God, mercy. Oh God, mercy. And somebody says, Lord, I join my faith. You know, this issue of I'm praying for you now, because of how powerless we are, is not even working again. During the days of our fathers, when an anointed man says he's praying for you, you rejoice. Jesus said, Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. He said, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. How? By praying for them too. Paul said, for this cause, I, Paul, bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that he may grant unto you. He's praying for the church. You can pray for people, my brothers and my sisters. When you pray for men, you take advantage of the climate of your open heavens and stretch it towards them. Like, I can send you a recharge card. Are we together? I have 10 naira, you have 0 naira. I can transfer 2 naira and it will get to your phone, and your phone will be empowered and you will start work. You didn't go to buy it, but by the abundance of the supplies of that which I have given it to you. Listen, healing is not the only thing that is transferable. Are we together? Spiritual climates, you can share climates. That's the reason why you can pray alone and after 10 minutes you are tired, and one day somebody that has a real solid grace for prayer says, come, let's pray. And even you are surprised that 4 hours has passed. The first 30 minutes will look like hellfire. You are wondering, this guy is still singing and I'm already tired. No water in this place, no food. And this guy just, let's continue. I usually pray for 2 hours. And after 30 minutes, you feel like dying, but something will happen to you. By the time your body gets weak to a level, it will give up and there will be an ascendance in your spirit. Immediately you will find out that you who believed you will not survive 1 hour, you are even the one that will tell him, should we not go and pray tomorrow? Then you go back to the weak people you left before and wonder that you have been praying for 10 minutes just like them. You say, let's round up. You say, are you joking? We're about to sing. Play the guitar. Can your seed become a ladder in the spirit? Can your heart become a ladder in the spirit? Your sacrifice is your best. It doesn't have to be offered like an offering, but it must be handed over to the Lordship of Christ. What's that sinner song? My very best, Lord, I give. My very best, Lord, I give. My very best, Lord, I give to you with all my heart. My very best, Lord, I give. My very best, Lord, I give. My very best, Lord. I remember a year the Lord asked me to sow a seed. If not that I didn't know the voice of God, I will ask the demon to appear first. I will say, good, let angels help me tie that spirit. Let me tear the spirit one by one for that kind of ungodly instruction. When God demands Isaac, even you, you don't know what part of Isaac to carry. Is it his head? Is it his hand? Is it his face? God says, all of Isaac. I'm not saying you should sow. Don't get me wrong. And Isaac may not always mean your finance. Your heart is heavier than your money. Let me tell you, it's easier to carry money than to carry your heart. Many of us think giving God your heart is just... giving God your heart is not just born again. It's surrender. It is painful. You carry your heart and drop it on that fire and watch the fire of the Holy Ghost roast that heart, and then it becomes like the bush that was burning. You think it will be consumed, but the heart becomes purified, and you are watching your heart turn to gold. And with the heat in that heart, God will say, now since you gave me, let me put it. You gave him a cold heart of stone and he picks it and makes gold and he puts that heart, and you turn to the nations and you will subdue them because of the fire that has come upon your heart. Tonight God is calling us. You want to see an open heavens? Get used to sacrifice. I believe that God wants us to be comfortable, don't get me wrong. But this Christianity of excessively advocating convenience as the ultimate proof of godliness is a joke. When you walk with God, every once in a while there will be demands. He does it on purpose to make sure he remains Lord. One day he will tell you to do something that is very painful. It was painful for Abraham to take. Imagine like Pastor Alpha telling this adorable boy now, say him and his wife, two of them, forward march to one mountain on the way to Kaduna, and you see people say, Pastor Alpha, is everything all right? Say, it's all right. And they hang this boy and they're about to kill him. He said, who asked you to do that work? He said, God. Do you know the embarrassment? And God kept watching. He said, stop! Now I know that you feared me. He says, and I swear by my name that in blessing. He said, if ye are the children of Abraham, you will do the works of Abraham. It's not the works of the law, it's the works of faith. Are we together now? We are going to pray this night. Our time is up. But I came tonight to challenge us. Listen, there are benefits to an open heaven. It is worth every sacrifice that you commit. I wish that I had the grace to share testimonies. Now, it will be wrong for me as a leader to not share testimonies, but sometimes I minimize these things because sometimes some testimonies, if not managed, will end up discouraging you instead of lifting up your spirit. But there are things that I will share with you about my life and about what God has done and is doing in this ministry that you will not know whether to cry from your eyes or your mouth or your ears. That's what happens. You dare a man that is a living sacrifice, you will be surprised how God will act like he doesn't know you. When Aaron and Miriam started talking against Moses, and they were talking all kinds of things, the glory came, and when it lifted, Aaron was immune because of his priesthood, but Miriam became white, leprous, as white as snow. Imagine a human being like snow, as a warning. I was like, okay, this is, I've done this. Tomorrow you will know that you will not just touch. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed. An anointed man is not just, do you know how the anointing is made? You have to, you, it's a threshing floor. You squeeze the oil, and as you crush that oil, the pain, but you focus, and under the oil is dripping, and it's that oil that is purified that comes upon your head. I want you to walk in power, and I want you to walk under an open heavens. I told you something, I think the last time I was here, it was week before last now. Nobody is greedy. They just don't perceive you to be anointed enough to merit the level of benevolence they have to give. The same person who will complain giving you 100 naira will give another person 5 million and sleep happy that he had the privilege. There are benefits to an open heaven. There are benefits to sacrifice. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? It will ease your life. It is better to pay the price in the presence than to pay the price before men. Men are wicked people. They will punish you and bring all kinds of excuses. Man of God, hear me. This running around looking for a name, stay in the secret place and let God perfect his workings and his glory upon your life. And let me see the power in existence that has the fortitude to mock the integrity of God over your life. For his name's sake, when he carves his name upon your life, he makes it a responsibility to defend himself upon you. Number of you have come from several places here because of what you've heard that the Lord is doing. My brothers and my sisters, these are not the workings of men. They are the workings of God, but they are worked out through men. Men that have become living sacrifices, epistles, testaments of endurance. And tonight, I'm calling on you. that if you seek to see an open heavens in your life, in your ministry, then you must, among the keys that I've given you, there are so many, but I'm just giving you two tonight. I want us to walk under an open heavens. You will know you are under an open heavens. Multiplied visions. Some of us, you've not dreamt in 5 months and you think it's normal. Are we together? You don't see anything. The only thing you hear is an alarm clock. You go back to bed, even your spirit sleeps. What kind of human being are you? Darkness is looming around you. You don't pick any signal till it happens. You have dreams that have keys in them, but you wake up and don't remember them. It's a revelation of the weakness of your spirit. Did you hear what I just said? That you settle down and have dreams and wake up and you do not have the capacity. Was that not what happened to the king? He slept and he forgot the dream. And then another man did not sleep and yet picked the dream. A contrast of the health of their spirit. Hold the hands of someone. Our time is up. God is making us people of power.
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled me. All my cares and burdens unto you.
Hallelujah. I'd like you in the next 2 minutes, while you are holding the hand of someone, just begin to pray in the spirit. Say, Lord, I'm ready for an open heaven. I'm ready to walk in the favor that open heavens bring. I'm ready to walk in the blessings. Please help, help them, help them, help them.
For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Keep praying. Amen. Ha. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, yeah, forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, keep praying, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father. I'm deep in love with you, Lord.
Koinonia, pray.
I'm deep in love with you, precious Jesus. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. Shedina, shedina, nane. I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father. I'm deep in love with you.
Hallelujah. Just one prayer point. I'm seeing like smoke just moving across inside and outside. Pray this prayer point. Lord, open my heavens tonight. Lift your voice and pray. And watch the wonder of what tonight's meeting will do. Pray.
I'm deep in love with you.
Hey. Pray. He's opening your heavens. Financial open heavens. Spiritual open heavens. Hey. You came for koinonia, an encounter.
Fill me up.
cast my crown before the highest royalty. I am undone before your royal majesty. I cast my crown before the highest royalty. I am undone before your declare over your life in the name of Jesus, everything that represents a closed heaven, I stand by this and ashakata takatoche kata rekete kete karakatosh embrakata kata kata shakata kata tose kete lekete prekete kete kosana makata. I command your heavens be open in the name of Jesus. Financial heavens be open in the name of Jesus. Spiritual heavens, doorways, gateways, gateways of the anointing, gateways of the prophetic, gateways of the miraculous, gateways of wisdom, I command be open in the name of Jesus. And every force from hell that is making your heavens close, that you will not stand upon this altar to testify. I stand with the keys of David that can open a door that no man shuts. I command your heavens open in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen. Listen. The Lord is telling me some of you are long overdue for testimonies. And this is not just some exaggeration. In the name of Jesus, I stand and I prophesy. Help this gentleman. Help that guy. In the name I prophesy. Please believe what you are hearing. Don't just stand and argue. I decree and declare by the power of the highest, the creative force of the Father, I speak to you, everything that is stopping your testimony from coming to pass, I command now, I lose your testimony. I lose your testimony. Like the donkey, the master has needs of it. The saints have need of it. I lose your testimony. I bring you into a season of fearsome testimonies in the name of Jesus Christ. Is brooding over every darkness. You are causing lights to shine from darkness. You are brooding. Bible says God who had commanded light to shine not into darkness, out of darkness. In every darkness there is light. God can call light out of every darkness. I speak to you. I don't know what challenge you have been praying and trusting God for, but if there is a believer that can believe prophecy tonight, in the name of Jesus I speak and I prophesy to you. Let that challenge be turned in this season to your testimony. Let that challenge be turned into your testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Listen, everybody that must rise before this month ends to make the word of the Lord come true in your life, I stand by prophecy. I call them and I provoke them to your life in the name of Jesus. Believe what I'm saying. I'm praying for you that in the name of Jesus, any man assigned by God to be a tool to be used by God for your lifting, I speak it no matter where they are. I clear the barrier standing between you and them, and I declare free access in the name of Jesus Christ. Every man and woman of God here, everyone in any kind of ministry, fresh oil, fresh anointing, new dimensions of revelation, grace for miracles, signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me pray finally for every family here. You have seen others testify, but it looks like for you, you are saying, God, is this how this month will end? Did you not say this is the year of signs and wonders? I'm not praying for every family, but there are families that have never come to stand here to say God did this and that. In the name that is above all names, I decree and declare by the power that is in the name of Jesus, the same way the hand of a clock goes round and touches every number, I declare that your turn has come to testify. Hallelujah. Wave your hands to Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, we bless you. Let my praises arise like the morning sacrifice, and the lifting of my hands like the evening sacrifice. Let my praises rise like incense, and the lifting up of my hands like the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, just help all those under the anointing, whether inside or outside. Please keep standing. Just give me a minute. I want to make an altar call very quickly. When the days when God is in serious business with men, please listen, don't be distracted. Overflow 1, 2, 3 by the roadside, and those who are following, please listen very carefully. There are people who are saying, Apostle, I want to make my ways right with Jesus. Probably you are a visitor, you came, probably you came late, you're connecting online, you are here. And there may be others who are saying, Apostle, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. For some reason, I feel a need to recommit my life. Our time is gone because I still want to speak over your life. And then I'll just give us some instructions now and then we're done for tonight. If you belong to any of these two categories, please make way for those who will be coming from outside. Wherever you are, I'd like you to boldly, God bless you, a gentleman is coming. Come quickly. You belong to that category, I'd like you to come quickly. God bless you. Bless you, mommy. Bless you. Please help them. Help them. Quickly. God bless you. Shalabaladaba. When we share the grace, you will sing that song, Gashina. Even if it's just for 2 minutes, I just sense that there is an anointing on that song. Worship team, I release grace upon you to write songs. I prophesy it in the name of Jesus. May you step into, it's not just a few people, supernatural dimensions of songs. Songs that will come in dreams. You will sit down and start writing as if you are prophesying. In the name of Jesus Christ. Those who are coming, please quickly, quickly. I salute those of you who are standing. If you are joining them, don't be shy. Jesus is here. We're a big family that will never condemn you. You are more than welcome. His presence is always here to change, to lift, to build. God bless you. Who would see such presence and not make it right with God?
Now, please, I want all of you standing. Just lift your right hand, if you will, and just say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you and I believe in you that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I have heard your word. I desire my heavens to be opened. And so I come to you just as I am. And I ask you to cleanse me, to change me, to build me, to lift me. I receive your life into my spirit. And I declare that from tonight, I am a child of God, now and forever. Amen. Please keep your hands lifted. Thank you for these ones, dear Father. Thank you because their lives will never be the same. Let the grace that only comes from you, the grace that is able to save men to the uttermost, may that grace be effectual in their lives even from tonight, in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I speak to you. I declare your sins forgiven by the authority of Scripture, and I decree and declare that the grace to rise and walk in victory is yours right now. The Bible says that they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, it says they will reign in life. I declare that you begin to walk in dominion. The life of God is at work in you, in the name of Jesus. And that every challenge you came here with, we turn that challenge into your testimony, in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for making this decision. It's a very noble decision. May I request all of you standing in front? There's a gentleman waving his hand. Very quickly, I will request you to just follow them. They'll be very fast with you. Just communicate a few details to you and you'll be back to your seat. God bless them. Go ahead. Let's appreciate them. Let's appreciate them.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio.
And download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate.